Morning to everyone. So today we will learn about the birth of the early church and a very beautiful church living. This is something that all the churches of the Lord should imitate. So today we see that in the functioning of the church today, the different churches have different inclinations because of human blind spots, because we have our own biases. Some church will emphasize this and then not emphasize some other things. So when you lead a church this way, we will be giving the enemies a lot of foothold. Some churches overemphasize the growth in numbers, so they come out with many innovative programs to attract people to the church. And indeed, people do rush to the church, but we can see in the growth in numbers, the quality did not increase. The believers may have increased in numbers, but if you ask them, what did they learn in church? So they only superficially learn about God's word. They're just more interested in the programs and activities. And maybe the bigger the church becomes, all kinds of people will come to church. In such a time, the shepherds have a responsibility to preach the word properly. But sometimes the leader may not be interested to preach the word properly. So eventually the church will enter into this easy believism. So just tell people, you say the sinner's prayers, you can go to heaven. Such a church, it looks like the stage is beautiful. The worship is very loud, but the in-depth understanding of their faith, do they really have it in such a church? Because the sheep of the Lord is not fed, slowly they will leave, or because of hurts or friction. So the shepherd knows that there's such a thing. They are very wise. They use some organizational skills and use some methods. A lot of counseling and then showing psychology to just retain these people. So, cell group leader, you go and call 50 people. Okay. Why is that so? Because he oversized on numbers and growth. So the Bible says the numbers were added to them. So how are the numbers increased? They just want to see the numbers increase. The other extreme is that they emphasize on the quality. The quality. Every single believer is important. We must nurture them into disciple, teach them properly. Of course, there's nothing wrong with this. But when we emphasize on quality, if it's 10, 20 years, it's still 10, 20 people. You must reflect. what is the quality that we are talking about? We are inward looking. We just want to equip ourselves with the, do we bear fruit outside? Do we extend outwards? Do we have evidence of us bearing fruit? Such a church. They did not leave the four walls of the church and to really testify to people outside of church. So Jesus said to preach the gospel to all the ends of the earth. So they are always waiting for people to come. After they come to church, then we will share the gospel with them. But nobody came. So this such a church, they also need to reflect. They have this, some of, for them, they are believers. They have a lot of knowledge, but to practically live out and to serve people, to share the gospel, to shepherd others, so they might not be able to do it. So although they have the quality, they are not able to get people to come to a church. So they may have a lot of Bible knowledge, but it's all theory. If they focus on knowledge, but they have this inclination, they are inclined to comfort, you will realize it's very easy to learn the principle, but to live it out, to apply the principle, for this principle into heart and to enter into your life, it's not comfortable. Especially when we talk about, especially life, you have to interact with people. So you need to prepare cell group for them, you need to take care of them when people come to church. 10-20 years, just So some people will be thinking, wow, too many people. Some people, sometimes 20-30 people come to, new members come to the church, and then they feel like they can't handle all this. There's a bit of discomfort. If our growth in our increase on knowledge, such makes us weak in our limbs, right? We're so weak spiritually. How do we? When you cannot bear fruit. One focus on numbers. The other focus on overemphasize knowledge and comfort. These two extremes it comes from their incomplete understanding, and then brings to church. So some people say, oh, you know, the early churches are family church. We just it's like the early churches are home churches, so we must go to the homes. There's sofa, and then it's very easy, comfortable. When we gather in church, there's no, it's not solemn. There's no godliness. Everybody is very comfortable. So they just come anytime. When you realize that, this is also another inclination. So there are some church are too strict. They are so focused on the rituals. After doing, and they do not have this joyful fellowship after that. This sincere love is missing in that church life. they feel they are not loved. This is also another inclination. There are many different kinds of inclinations. So church, they love fellowship and communication. They all come together and talk. Then after talking, they don't want to go home. They just keep talking. Such a church. When you examine this, why do they come to church? The church is a refuge. They cannot bring the power he received from the church to bring it home. We should receive strength here. So we must be careful. When you get this comfort must be when I talk about all these weaknesses, I'm not saying our church is perfect, but we must know what the Bible tells us about a Holy Spirit church. When we want to strive towards this perfection, is there an inclination that is unhealthy? We are all members of the church, so when we come to a church, we also come with our own inclination and bring to the church, so that, and then we bring along our ideals of a church. So if you are strong in one area, then we will criticize the other. You will criticize the weakness of others. Some people, they say, yeah, Pastor, I don't like people to be told to talk too much. I just come to church, I leave. But then you realize 10 years later, there's no one who can really intercede for him. Some people, they come to church, they feel sleepy during the sermon. But then you ask him to share, he share non-stop. This is a church that preached the word of God. But in the sharing the word, in the shepherding, there is some tension between, because when we want to shepherd, we need to listen to them. When we need to teach and correct, I help people to understand and then to be connected to Christ. Because in the cell group, everybody is too close, everybody starts talking, and then there's no, it's not just come and then come here and eat chicken wing and then be happy about it. Why the cell group needs to confirm the word? Some newcomers, they come and introduce themselves for very long. So those who needs to, the message that needs to be confirmed is not confirmed. So for cell group leaders, ask God to anoint you. You are a leader for the group. You must pray for this sheep to be fed. So if they, if you need them to stop, you need them to stop. If not, other people will suffer loss. I say this, if you come to a church, most people know about you, your struggles, you come back to the word that, to the word given to this church. And then you think through your issues, through the word of God. You know what is our spiritual problem? We like to talk, don't like to listen. And then you realize what you are sharing is the same last week and previous week. And then that's why we keep venting your infrastructure. You will not be healed. You must listen. This new light must come into you, new perspective. And then you see your problem again. Or my problem with others, because after you have received the word, so you, only then when you, what you say can edify others. I'm just saying this once. I know we can't do it. So the anointing of the cell group leaders, fix your eyes on Jesus and then be faithful to the truth, and then of course love the sheep and pray God give you the authority to lead the church, the cell group. This is what God is showing, sharing to us. Every word is important, but we see that at the Pentecost, 3,000 repented and turned to the Lord, and the first church of the New Testament is birthed. I say this also. It's the church. The term church, it is the concept of a church starts from Adam and Eve. After they have sinned, all the actually the people of God, actually the meaning of church is ecclesia. They have been called out from the world. So when they have, after God has given them the salvation, so the people of God are called out. So Abraham was called out. Israel was called out. They are all called out. We are set apart. So the first church that was birthed after Pentecost, this is the New Testament church, and it's a Holy Spirit filled church. Yes. The Holy Spirit is with them, and it has the power of the Holy Spirit. Does not mean this church has no problem, but in their problems, you will see the Holy Spirit helping them even in a greater way. How the church is connected to Christ, like how the body is connected to the head. So the whole body, with the head and the body, how do we live? How do they move? How does it influence the world? How does it save people so that they are turned, they are joined to the body? This is in the whole records of Acts. So today, so this first New Testament church, chapter 2, verse 42. So those who receive, they were, earlier we read that they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So after what happened after that? After the, you know, what happened after the conference? So what happens after that? You know, their repentance is real, and it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And then each fruit will bear even more fruit. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. These are very important things. Breaking of bread, this is worship. This is... So everyone was filled with awe. So this is these are Christians, believers, and it could be non-believers as well, but they were filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Why did... All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. You cannot imagine this picture. Mine, yours. Mine is yours. Yours is mine. Everybody just share this. All the money just come together and share this. Should the Christian believers do this today? We want community living. Come, everybody buy Bedok because I stay. Every eat potluck. We are all Christians. Such extremists. See, this is what is written in Acts. They did not understand the background. Later I'll talk about this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke breads in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's a sincere gladness, glad and sincere hearts. They are loving each other in God's love, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. 6th verse. This is a Holy Spirit church, and this is just 6 verses. So, from this message today, let's look at to describe what is a Holy Spirit-filled church. Okay, just 4 points. Then later you'll see that more churches are being formed. But this is the example. A church that studies the Word of God. When you read this, the first thing is, after the church is set up, they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is something they keep doing. 3,000. When they are filled with the Holy Spirit, if they have, what do they come in? Is it to look at visions and dreams and have this mystical experience? No. The first thing, they devoted themselves to the apostles, those that have God has appointed. It's wrong to say that we already have the Holy Spirit. We just need to experience God. So they have to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they have to. Because Holy Spirit is not a very mystical thing. It's not just giving them some emotions of experience. But Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. To experience His power, it must be true. It must be through the understanding of the truth. If a church that is anti-knowledge, if they want to share the gospel, they will surely fail. In the end, what is true and what is untrue, they may not know. you don't want to learn the Word of God, all your conviction of the Holy Spirit, it becomes all your selfish desire. It's all coming from your desires. When numbers must increase. So, if you do not have Word of God, do not use the Holy Spirit. So who taught? So the apostles who have been appointed by Jesus, what they have done is as good as God doing. What they have said, such authority is given to the apostles. So that's why they have many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. It's not for us to. This is a sign of the authority. If I raise the dead, will you believe the apostles or will you believe me? A living person today, if I perform all these signs and miracles, you'll believe me. So God surely does not I wouldn't say sometimes you lay hands on someone and pray for them. Some disease, some people are really healed. Such great miracles, don't pursue such things. But because we have our Lord has accomplished our salvation. So those who submit to the apostle teaching is to submit to the teachings of the New Testament. They submit to the teachings in the New Testament. If we corrupt the teachings of the apostle and claim that we have some new revelations, so for some pastor, they come out with some innovative theory. They do not know they have offended God, and then they have harmed the body. In history, the church is always in the stage of reformation. So why all this? So this heresy, why did God allow that to happen? Then they have some strange other teachings, and then some go to different extremes. Or legalism, or hyper grace, mysticism. Why did God allow all these things? Why God did not destroy them? Just for so such that I'm not saying we are the most. Sometimes in the battles, in their setbacks, why did the sheep of the Lord leave the church? Why such a good life? Because what we have taught, that's where we realize maybe our teaching is not so complete, and then we quickly correct our course. God also allow Arminianism to what I'm trying to say, when God allows something. Sometimes some people believe in predestination, and then they start to not share. So God allows certain something to challenge our reformed thinking. Is it because we have talked so much about is that we do not live out this? So God is looking at the whole church, but God is not foolish. Do not think that you don't think that God can be. God is not like this. Why did He, from Genesis to Revelations, why did He share the word very clearly? It tells you it must be learned and must learn it in totality. Do not just and then you don't read. So it has to be consistent. It must be consistent throughout the Bible. So you must have a complete understanding. You must have a systematic understanding. If you like this book, you like Romans, you take. You like James or something. So you must have a complete systematic understanding. And then you must leave it out. So you must. It's not just in there. If you cannot leave it out, if it's something not people, so why would God give us some principle that is impossible for us to live out? So we must go back to the teachings. It's not that we talk about doctrine, so it's not about Calvin. I can. So through our debate, we will be clearer and clearer. Some situations you may not have answers. You will be. I'm not saying you're not a believer, but as a believer, but we must be clear about God's word, so that we can stand firm in our end times. There are more and more deception in the end times. If we don't have if you're not able to discern what is real and not real, how can we stand firm? So I pray that our church can continue to learn and be confirmed. Once Elder Wong Kang was preached, we must learn we must learn science. You learn physics. If you give you a textbook, chapter 1 to 10, you must learn everything. I just learned chapter 6. You need to learn from chapter 1 to 10, Genesis to Revelation. So if you are say justified by faith, but you must also tell the believers what to do after you believe, how you should live your life, how you should obey. So we must equip ourselves in the word. So what's the other second point? A church that is filled with the Lord's love. It's also verse 42. It's a picture. Besides devoted themselves to the fellowship, devoted themselves to the teaching, they also fellowship. Konos, having a communion and common. We are sharing things. When brothers and sisters come together, what do we share? we share the presence of the Trinity God. May the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. So if you are someone who is, no one is without the Father's love. They do not have the, no one has, it does not have the grace of Jesus. If you don't have, because you never gather. When you gather, the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, all your expression of your brothers and sisters in the sharing, when I share a cell group, I receive a reminder, and God is reminding me of something. When we gather, everybody share, we share the presence of the Trinity God. So what else do the believers share? They also share intercession, bear each other's burden. So when we gather, everyone is giving, everyone is receiving. I cannot just every time you listen to me, after I've so we serve each other. So they have fellowship, and then they share everything in common, and then have God's love. Here, so verse 45 is also shared. Say they share their material possessions. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had. So their relationship has transcended the boundaries of possessions. Some people who accepted the Lord, they are chased out from the temple courts. They cannot find a job. In the Holy Spirit strongly convict them to share, have everything in common. All your wealth is, you take out all the wealth so they sustain. So if a proper church, right, we will not have anyone. If you need to sleep in the streets, you come and look for me. We will not have, in a Holy Spirit filled church, nobody needs to sleep in the streets or have problems with food and clothing. So must all saints do this. You sell your car and your house and bring to church, and then we have community living. I must say, I've seen some preacher, they sold everything. They live a very simple life. They live among poor people. This is a special conviction for. I believe this is not a universal command. This is something that God has convicted them to do this at that time. So when we read this, we must ask, how did this happen? So everybody, when they see this, Marxism, socialism, communism, and then we share, distribute it fairly, how is it different? The biggest thing in Acts, they are all willingly doing it. The believers were convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they were doing this willing. It's not coerced to do this. So the Bible tells us, those people, God loves a cheerful giver. if we teach about offering, if you never give offering, I will not call you and ask you to give offering. It's something a willing heart. Karl Marx socialism, it brings about class, so the workers to oppose the landowners, the government, for the government to confiscate all the land and to distribute it fairly. So if a nation does this forcefully, such a way to achieve equality, it really takes away love. If there is no willingness, where is the love? When you take away love, everybody is forced. People are forced to do this. This is not God's will to do this forcefully. I can say, the world is always trying to invent new theories to take care of poverty. They do not know the work of the Holy Spirit. So China has this common prosperity. They have a lot of pressure, a lot of enterprise to. So some people say, Pastor, you always talk about things in China about. You must know what's the bit. I'm not attacking your country, but how do we exalt God? Sometimes there's this. So secularism in Singapore, U.S. has its own problems. Wherever you are, you must know. This is the difference between heaven and earth. Those with the Holy Spirit and no Holy Spirit, you will surrender to God. You must be a gospel person. You must be a person from the heavenly kingdom. Even the family may have given you wrong teachings, and must reform yourself with the Word of God. You must wash away all these things. You must reform. Why did God give you family relationship? Some people say, Pastor is more and more fierce in his recent preaching. Some people say, Pastor, you must say willingness. Why? Why? Ananias and Sapphira, they sold their things, they kept them for themselves, and then they come before Peter. This is, of course, why do you deceive the Holy Spirit? And then they fell, Ananias and Sapphira. So you must know, it's not because of their greed, because they deceived the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about this more when we talk about chapter 5. The sin of deceiving the Holy Spirit is greater than the sin of greed. So you must know this. I'm not saying that if you don't take out all your wealth, you will fall. Our fellowship is not just talking. Well, there must be care and concern, there is sharing. So and they have also some children, they are not so good at their studies, and then some brothers and sisters also provided tuition. So when the church does this, and it takes all this jealousy, envy, we are just removing the root of all these things. So all social status, all backgrounds, they can come. they can come and stay in the church. Poor people, they will not be, they will not feel proud. The rich will not feel proud, and those who are poorer may not feel they are being looked down. This is the second thing. The third thing, the church that truly knows how to worship the Lord. Verse 32, they have the breaking of bread and prayer. Here it talks about verse 46. Continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And they praised God. In the early church, there are two. So there's the temple courts and then it's at home. It's a formal and informal worship. Formal. So after, in the, they still go to the temple, and then they still participate in sacrifice. And why do they still participate in this? Because Judaism is a transition between Judaism to Christianity. They have gone to the temple to offer sacrifice. So when they want to convert to Christianity, for a time, until they realize that the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ has accomplished this, so there's this transition. So they still go to the temple. So the other reason they go to the temple courts is to really share about Jesus to the rest of the Jews. Then there is also the informal. So they also have home gathering. So they broke breads. So it's not such a formal. So some of them they gather in the homes. Shabbat. So they have the Shabbat dinner. The Messianic Jews, when they observe the Holy Communion, it's not. So they just come together for dinner, and then they say grace, and then they broke bread, and then they just share the bread, and that is their Holy Communion. It's a very informal thing, and then you have fellowship. It's like a cell group. And then church evolved to be, we have a formal gathering, and then we have this Holy Communion. Why is the spirit behind this is that when some people come here, see, every time we gather, they did not break bread every time, did not always have Holy Communion. It's not correct. We must do this every gathering. Sometimes when we say something, we do not know the context. As every time they gather, they just remember the Lord. Not just Saturday, but now it's a mass gathering, because and then we formally for church, some church do it every week, we do it once a month. We don't need to be insistent on our own ways. When we all gather And when we do this together, we remember the Lord. So after that, so what's the meaning of this? After you observe the Holy Communion, but after that, you just leave. But this, what's the informal gathering? It's the fellowship of the brethren. So in these things, so the Holy Spirit allows the church to have certain. So of course, early churches, they may still have the sacrifices. What God has given to the church is a patient. Sometimes we are not perfect because we have our own inclination. But then we do this. So God is patiently waiting for us for reform, and then how do you know yours is correct? You have a history. So early church has a context. So there are some absolute truth in the Bible. It's unchanging. It does not change with culture. Some of the rituals. So impatiently wait and test and observe, and then reach to different countries, different culture. Holy Spirit allows certain practices. There are two types of worship. The former, it's a solemn. The informal ones, there's a glad and sincere heart, there's joy. There's no pretension. And when we gather together, don't need to pretend. You don't need to claim you are healed if you're not healed. Don't need to boast about God's blessing. But this will cause the church to be more and more to have more and more pretensions. So there's joy. There is joy in solemn. So if our gathering is too strict and formal, nobody can breathe. If our gathering is too joyful and too free spirited, and everybody will just indulge. So some people look like they're drunk, and then they say foolish things. We must know. So there's some solemnity, and there's also joy. There's some formality, and there's some freedom. Our cell group, maybe a cell group, some is very strict. 7, 8. So you cannot be too formal in the cell group. So, but if cell group, everybody take it so casually that they can. It's not so good if it's not too casual and people start eating tidbits. There's still some people may be affected by you when you receive the word. After they can share and have a lot of laughter. This is the worship. Of course, we have a service. after service is also very important. This is a, it's also a concept. It's not just in the rituals. After that, when they share their meal, they also do that. So what kind of hearts do we have? Do we have when we bring to worship? What is pleasing to the God? So if you are Holy Spirit cell group or church, everybody will enjoy coming, because when you come in God's word, in the joy of brothers and sisters, we see God's love, and in God's love we see how brothers and sisters are growing. So the last point, a church that shares the gospel. So the first one, they teach, they learn, they study the word of God, then they have fellowship, and then they worship. So it's about internal activities of the church. 47, verse 47. Praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. You know, after that, so it's just the beginning. Maybe there's 6,000, 9,000 from there. From here, we know that although they have the fellowship, but they did not forget their mission on earth. They need to rely on the Holy Spirit to testify for the Lord. All the internal activities in the church, it must bring about so that we have to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to testify for the Lord. So a church that, how do they share the gospel? Verse 47, right? There are many clues there. First, it's the Lord's word. It did not say many people believe the Lord. Here it says the Lord added to their number. So it's a God-driven. So Lord added to their numbers. So God caused people to thirst for word, for the word. So God allowed the Jewish society to notice this group of people. After our gathering, we go back to our life. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. They will encounter a lot of people who needs to know the gospel. Some church is really, you don't say you are, if something is wrong, if you are just remaining in the same number, you need to think about, we must, if a church, if you never share the gospel outside, it will naturally grow. So even if you have new kids, they will naturally grow. You will still grow naturally. If they grow up, they leave the church. And they go to the world. The word, the love, it cannot retain these people. So, this Holy word of the Holy Spirit, but comes from God's word, and then fellowship of the believers. There's a joyful and also the solemn worship. And then And then we see that, you know, the Lord added to their number daily. No one can create authentic. So one day your family members will want to come to the church with you. It's really the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot describe this. Second thing, when they praise God, it's not just indulge in this singing and then speaking in tongues. No, actually, when we do this in formal worship, after that, you have true life transformation. You go back home, you have more wisdom, you have more love, you have more patience, because, and then you will have received the favor. So a success. So you are full of joy after that. So there's a before and after. The people closest around you will notice it. Every time you come back from church, you are different. Your faith, the way you talk to kids, you are Holy Spirit filled. You are not so patient, not so impatient. If you just change this a bit, those people who are close to you will notice it. If you do a religious life, everybody just come here. I must eat this Holy Communion. If you have no communion with God, we do not have this, have fellowship with brothers. We do have new perspective. And then there's no meaning in all these things. You have no meaning in all these things. And then, of course, the doors of evangelism will not open. So you praise God, and the favor of the people come together. And then people who are being saved. So what is amazing, most of the people who come to church are those who are saved. There's no Sunday nominal Christians. Even there are some pre-believers, they are attracted to the faith and they want to join them. It's not having activities to attract people to come here. They do not know what is sin. Then full of goats in the church, full of people who are not saved. So just tell them, don't call them pre-believers, don't call them unbelievers. Why do you want to call them pre-believers? If you have a pre-believing husband, so the Bible never tell you what to do if you have a pre-believing husband. So if you want to pray for these people who have not been saved, to pray for them. So you think about this. Why is the church full of those people who are not saved? This is because of their certain inclination, because they did not teach the word properly. So the added to them daily is not coming. This is not happening in so in their daily life. They continue to witness for Christ. This is the most God-driven way of evangelizing. Of course, we have gospel rally. I really see that everyone's life is transformed, and people will see. When we live in a very rich city, a city, there's the culture of Babylon. So that we all pursue the success of the world. So to establish the kingdom on earth. So So ever since the Pentecost, since the Pentecost, this Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has never departed the church. So in this guidance of the Holy Spirit, we must humble ourselves and do not let your own will overtake God's will. So our church, there's a lot of things, have a lot of things we need to improve on in these 2 years. So when we obey, when we get the guidance of the Lord, we will see the Lord added to our numbers. There's a lot of things that God needs to correct in us, so we humble ourselves and submit to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we want to give you all the glory. We want to give glory to the one who loved the church, who redeemed the church, and who has established the church. And we know that the church is your bride, and you have established them through your truth to cleanse us so that they are without blemish, so that this church can be a bride that is worthy. And Lord, we give you thanks, and through Acts, we help us to see an example of a blessed church. No one, Lord, can boast. Have mercy on our inadequacies and correct our mistakes. We are willing in all these things to continue to receive your conviction and to continue to imitate your example and obey what you have, the words you have given us. And Lord, we give you thanks, and we will partake in the Holy Communion in through this. We can be connected with you and with all brethren, and such that, and for this church to, what the church can, the importance, help us all to know the importance of our relationship with you and with others. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.